There are five very common English words, which, when arranged alphabetically, aren't all that impressive. The first of the words is a good Advent word, coming. Then getting, got, what, and you've. Rearrange those words, however, in a more familiar arrangement, and you get a phrase that can strike terror into a heart. Getting what you've got coming. The extent to which one might experience concern over the hearing of those words depends on the person who is speaking them, of course. If a good friend says those with a smile in response to some prank or joke that was played, the concern level wouldn't be too high, as you'd expect the retaliation to simply be a similar prank or a joke. If, however, a judge were to tell you that you were going to be getting what you've got coming as a result of a crime committed, that one would take much more seriously, as it would probably mean imprisonment. If an anti-American terrorist were to seize us and captivate us and would say that we're going to get what we've got coming because we are Americans and they hate Americans, that would create an even greater level of concern, as it might translate into death or torture. So, what about getting what we've got coming from God? He knows much more about us than any human judge ever could, and he possesses far greater power to inflict punishment than any human entity. What's more, we've broken his holy laws, we have rebelled against him, and we have allied ourselves with his adversaries. If there would ever be reason to be terrified at the thought of getting what we've got coming, it would be at the thought of getting what we've got coming from God. Except for one thing. That's not how he deals with his children. That is something that we who believe in Jesus don't need to fear, for we have been taught that very important not attached to the Lord in the 103rd Psalm. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. Repaying us according to our iniquities, giving us what we've got coming. That, according to the psalmist, is something that God does not do. If that is something that he would do in connection with our lives as we know them would be instantly over and shattered. Imagine for a moment if God were to keep a scorecard, or like a scoreboard, such as the one in the corner over there. But instead of the words home and guest, he would place on there the words your sins and my punishments for your sins. How horrible it would be is if, in the course of a day, as we would commit sins, he would ratchet up the number, keeping track of everything that we've done wrong, and simultaneously ratchet up the number of the punishments that he was going to level against us for those things that we had done wrong. We wouldn't make it to breakfast before we'd be utterly crushed to the ground. As Ezra said, our iniquities have increased over our head, and our trespass has grown up to the heavens. If God were to repay us according to our iniquities, that is, if he were to give us what we've got coming, life would be a horrible series of miseries. But it's not. And that's because of this wonderful revelation of one of the wonderful things God is not and does not do. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. And why doesn't he? The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He's the God of grace who has an entirely different perspective than that of sinful humans. As the Lord who deals with us as his children in Christ, it's never a matter of an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth. Instead, it's a matter of God dispensing abundant grace to cover our abundant sin. Far from keeping track of our missteps so that he can retaliate, our Lord is one who keeps ahead of our sins with a double portion of forgiveness. In that wonderful section from Isaiah, often heard during the Advent season, God says, "Speak comfort to Jerusalem, and cry to her that her warfare is finished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." Not double punishment, double grace and forgiveness. Or in the words of the Apostle Paul, "Where sin abounded, there did grace much more abound. Grace and forgiveness now surround us because of Jesus Christ. God repaid him according to our transgressions. He got what we had coming. And since Jesus removed our sins, God is now able to deal with us as though who are free from those who are free from blame, free from guilt, free from that long, endless list of trespasses. Does that mean that our lives will now be free from difficulties, challenges, ailments? Obviously not. So how are we to view the difficulties, the troubles, the ailments that can still come our way during earthly life? Well, once the element of punishment is removed, and Jesus did remove all the punishment for our sins, then we can see the trials that come our way merely as corrective measures, training exercises, testings of our faith. As a loving Father, the Lord still does have to deal with our various spiritual weaknesses. He still does have to discipline us as needed. It's just that he doesn't deal with us as our sins deserve. So, when some difficulty or ailment or trouble or challenge does come into our lives, we ought not to jump to the conclusion that we are somehow being punished for some sin that we have committed. Remember what happened when the disciples jumped to that incorrect conclusion as they saw that blind man along the side of the road. It was their vision, their sight, that had to be corrected by the Lord. When they suggested that the man was blind because someone had done something terrible, Jesus said it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him. It is with loving intentions and glorious plans that the Lord now carefully deals with us and directs our lives. Getting from God what we've got coming. Had he not sent his son to be our substitute, we would have gotten what we had coming, and it would have been horrible. But since the punishment for our sins was placed on his son, God does not treat us as our sins deserve, nor repay us according to our iniquities. Instead, he carefully and lovingly disciplines us where and when we need it, while richly and daily providing us with blessings in great abundance. Whether in the background or in the foreground of one's thoughts, many people during the month of December are kind of thinking about, oh, I wonder what I'll be getting for Christmas this year. Well, the scriptures reveal without question what we will not be getting from our God, namely what we deserve. Thank him for that. Instead, he has all wrapped up for us in his son Jesus, grace and blessing and peace and abundant love. Thank him for that also. We sing of his greatness in not giving us what our sins deserve in the form of hymn 324, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. 324, 1, 2, and 4.